We'll pause for a moment of silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to continue our study. We thank you for the ministries of the Holy Spirit that enable us to comprehend, retain, and apply your immutable word. To these ends, we lift our prayer of gratitude in Christ's name. Amen. Although we have been through the passage already today, this is a new Bible class, and so people will log on from time to time to catch up. So we'll go through this one more time and then proceed. This will be 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 10. Here is the expanded translation. We start with the New American Standard and then disassemble the verse from the Greek in our process. Verse 1, "Now we urgently request you, fellow believers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together with him, that you be not easily shaken in mind or disturbed, neither by a spirit or by a message, nor by a letter, as if from us, alleging that the day of the Lord is near. Let no one deceive you according to any rhetorical method, for that day shall not come until after the rapture occurs first, and the man of lawlessness will then start the process of having his identity revealed. He is the son of destruction." And help out by putting these things up. "The Lucifer indwelt beast dictator opposes God and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, with the result that he symbolically takes his seat in the Holy of Holies of the temple of God in the form of a self-commissioned statue, asserting that he himself is God. Do you not remember what you previously understood, that while I was last with you, I was teaching you these doctrines? And now you know what thing restrains him now, so that he will be revealed in his dispensation. For the mystery of lawlessness is already operational. Only he who restrains will continue that ministry of restraint until he is taken out of the way. At that time, the lawless one will be revealed, whose presence in history shall be according to the modus operandi of Satan, with all power and by means of extra natural phenomena and pseudo wonders through propaganda. The parenthesis reads, whom the Lord will later annihilate with the breath of his mouth. In fact, he shall neutralize him by means of the sudden appearance of the second advent." Try to catch up here. Verse 10. "And by means of all delusion, of unrighteousness to those who are being led astray, deprived, ruined, destroyed among those that perish utterly, because they have not received the love of truth, so as to be saved." And "so as to be saved" is what we finished with in our first session. Now, rejection of truth leads to believing the lie. And so this can be easily done by the dark side. If you don't have an inventory, then whatever comes in you systematically agree with, do so basically. Yes, I agree with that. Yes, that should be done. I like that idea. Then you adopt it. That's rejection of truth leading to the lie, and therefore you are rejecting the Word of God in the process. This results, therefore, in an ultimate loss of exoterike harmonia among the people. When people are buying in to erroneous viewpoints that are accumulated from the devil's world, then there's a loss of harmony with others. And this is especially troublesome when it occurs in a church, because there's a deviation away from the problem-solving devices. And when you have problem-solving devices that enable you to deal with the exigencies in life, whether it's thought or people or disaster or systems, then you're able to manage through these by recall of the Word of God and therefore remaining copacetic in the process. And if there are people involved in this process, you're able to manage them, even though they may be hostile to you. even though you may be hostile to them, even though it may be something in between that. You have a loss of the harmony that should exist in the body of Christ. Now, that's exoterike harmonia, which means external harmony with others. There's an esoterike harmonia that has to do with harmony within your own soul. That really has to come first. That's accomplished through the inculcation of biblical truth, so that you're organized in your thinking, you're comfortable with that. You have a high inventory of ideas. You understand it's the devil's world. You understand that everyone has a sin nature and they plan to use it. And so you have esoterike harmonia. You're copacetic in your own life, in your own spiritual life, and in your surroundings, so that you're able to push forth that harmonia, that harmony, outward toward others. The only way for exoterike harmonia to work is to first be well established in your relationship with God, and that occurs with the inculcation of Bible doctrine. So when you have esoterike harmonia, you are good with God. You have harmony with Him. With that internal harmony, you then have harmony externally to others. If you don't have that, then you have to go back to problem-solving device number 7 and admit the fact you haven't organized your esoterike harmonia yet. You need to stay there and work on that. Once you get everything screwed together in that division, then you can have exoterike harmony, another external harmony with others and the circumstances we all face. And so when I put this in here, it's designed to set up the points that follow here. We have several of them. I usually don't put a lot of numbers because I don't do numbers well. There's 7 of them. Rejection of truth leads to believing the lie. Okay, that's the first point. You reject truth, you're going to buy a lie. This results in loss of exoterike harmonia among people. Secondly, minus spiritual recovery, the culture loses its foundational strength. The culture now, there's a loss of thought by any given believer. It affects the culture. That's the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit losing one of its guys. Like in baseball or football, our baseball team is a wonderful example of that. Everybody lives on the 15-day disabled list, if not more. How are you going to win if everybody's sick? Already we had a shortstop sick. What'd he do? Hurt his hand. He's old. He's 34 years old. Man, 34 shouldn't be trying to do this. So you see, it can damage the integrity of the organization. Follow that? The Cardinals no longer have a shortstop. We haven't had the first pitch yet. So there's a loss of group integrity by that guy going on the DL. Okay, what happens to the restraining minister spirit when somebody goes on the DL? Out of fellowship, going to Operation I don't want to play anymore. Minus spiritual recovery, the culture loses its foundational strength, societal standards diminish, and the nation declines into parvenimity. So why did you use that word, parvenimity? Because look at the definition down below. The sentence, parvenimity, Latin parvus, small and animus mind. Small-minded. The nation declines into small-mindedness. Do you agree? The state of having a little or ignoble mind. Littleness of mind, meanness. You have a little mind, you're mean, says here by parvenimity. So, the nation declines into parvenimity. Nevertheless, throughout the church age, the pivot will always be a restraining influence on Lucifer's modus operandi and strategy for achieving global domination. You can see Luciferian strategy emerge in these presidential candidates' verbiage. Some of them want us to be all friendly with other nations just because they think it's a good idea to have harmony with others. I give as my primary example a family reunion. Let's have at the family reunion, let's have this global domination concept reduced down to a family. Okay? Let's pretend Easter's coming up. Some of you are not going to be here Easter Sunday. You're going to be with your family. Easter is a time we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Proof positive that His work on the cross was valid for our salvation. It's a time of celebration in the sense that we know from the resurrection that our eternal security is absolutely qualified for our future because of the fact He resurrected. He is resurrected. What does that mean? He had no sin nature. When He went to the cross, He was qualified. He received our sins imputed to Him, and in Him they were judged. Therefore, sin is not our problem. Christ took the problem and paid for it. We have sin, and we must deal with it because of what? Because we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be restraining the society by our application of what we know. And we need to have all of this functioning so we can grow in grace and become a strong, positive, productive believer. Okay, that's the concept. Now, when you take a look at our point here, we have a church age pivot coming up. See that? The pivot will always be restraining influence on Lucifer's modus operandi and strategy for achieving global domination. He can't do that in the church age because of the restraining ministry. But he can make progress and always is speaking of the idea. I want to ask you the question. Some of the candidates that are running for president say, we should have all of these people from Syria and elsewhere come into our country because they've been run out of theirs. Okay, so there's an argument going on about that. What you think about that is what you think about it. You have free to decide whether you think it's a great idea or not. So all of these people come in. They bring their culture with them. Are they going to be amalgamated? Are they going to go through the system of learning the language, learning the culture, functioning in the new culture, becoming good citizens of society? We don't know. Some people say they're not going to be able to do that. And they're going to have infiltrators. They're going to have a fifth column coming with them, and they're going to create mayhem within the confines of the country. So there's that debate. So let's just put it the other way. Let's say, no, let's don't worry about nationalities and borders. Why don't we just move over there? We can go over to Syria. Let's get a bunch. Let's get thousands of people like they got. Let's get several thousand people to move to Syria. Lock, stock, and barrel. Grab up the stakes. Pack the bags and move there. What would be wrong with that? That would be globalism. Why would it not be a good idea? Because we would not fit into their society, would we? We got different cultural standards. Am I saying that their culture is wrong? I did not say that. I said it was different. So are we going to like it or not? Hey, hands, anybody want to move to Syria? Take your wife and children with you. Well, I got one guy. One guy's ready to go. And that's good because he can sing. You know, David could calm the hostility around him by getting out his guitar. He was a master musician. And you can go to the Psalms, and half of them, 150 of them, we know at least half of them, were composed by Daniel. And what we see are the lyrics. We don't know about the music. But he wrote music to go with. You see instructions to the choir. Remember that? Right at the very top, all these Psalms, right at the top, instructions to the choir, instructions to the band. So what are they playing? Stringed instruments, lyres and fiddles, banjos and what have you, a little bluegrass going on in Psalms. And then you take a look at the lyric. And then you understand he sang this stuff. And people were mesmerized by his voice. Bears and such would become tame at the sound of his voice. And he played the instruments. I mean, he was a one-man band. So, if you can sing, you can play an instrument, you can write music and put in lyrics in there, then you may be useful in Syria. Everybody gets calmed down and say, that's so beautiful. So everybody can be on, I think I can sing. I'll tell you this, if David was here today, he'd win, I think I can sing every year. He would play the instruments. He would have wonderful lyrics. He would have more than just one or two lines and a bunch of embolalia. He's 75 songs he wrote with music, accompanied voice. Okay. I recommend if you've got that going for you, move to Syria. It is the removal of all believers from the earth that causes the termination of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. That occurs at the rapture. Well, what's left at that point? Planet Earth is always under the domination of the God of this world, Lucifer himself. I've given you 9 verses that confirm that. So if the restraining ministry is gone, what's life like on planet Earth when everybody's vying to run the whole planet? That's what the beast dictator wants to do. But first of all, he wants to get rid of the Jews. He's a budding Hitler. Not that Hitler is the only one that wants to get rid of the Jews. There's always somebody wanting to get rid of the Jews. It's getting about time for us to put the Israeli flag back up. Anyhow, this signals the beginning of the tribulation, where there will be a large number of Europeans who will join forces with the beast dictator. Why is that? They have no thought. They're easily propagandized into buying his line. They will follow him because he is a mellifluous lip. His voice, the way he presents himself, his vocabulary, the construction of his sentences, the flow of what he has to say. He will capture the imagination of anyone who gives ear to what he's got to say. He probably is a stud muffin too, the ladies who will love him. Rejection of the gospel in the church age results in many being led astray into the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics, and he is going to have a huge student body. We know from the federal schools today that if you put professors with tenure in front of incoming students who are just barely out of diapers, that would be freshmen. And they come out of a society that's taught them socialistic ideas anyhow, because they started in kindergarten learning that. So what happens when they get to university? The guy standing up in front is feeding them what they've already been taught and telling you it's the truth. So when you graduate, when you get regurgitated into society, as some are going to have happen to them in 2 months, they are going to be 18 somewhere between now and November, and they're going to go punch for Barney. Rejection of the gospel of the church age, in the church age, results in many being led astray into the Satanic Academy. Now, rejection of truth in any dispensation results in God honoring human free will and allowing this poor decision to take its natural course. Rejection of truth, that is the worst thing any believer can do. You may not like the imperative mood that's found in Scripture. Do not do thus and so. On the other hand, you are to do this and that. People rebel against both concepts. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to stop doing this. That's inversion of thought. Okay, that sets up our next verse, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. So the New American Standard is where we start. It reads, "For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so they will believe what is false." A lot of deluding influences today in our society because of the loss of thought. We're losing restraint. Things that you grew up, and I mean even the young people in our congregation, what you grew up believing were standard behavior patterns in our society have now been inverted. And the inversion, let me tell you this, if you unleash your sin nature, there's nothing it won't do. There has to be restraint. Where do you get the restraint? From the culture. That would be establishment standards. You don't do these things because it violates the privacy, it violates the property, it violates the lifestyle of others. You can't do these things. We generally agree we won't do these things. Some of the decisions you can make can have long-range application to the future, like the violation of the family, the redefinition of marriage, trying to figure out what bathroom to go to, which is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard. You are an X or a Y. You're not anything else. You're an X or you're Y. So rather than men and women or ladies and guys on the little door, you put an X or a Y. And you're done with the discussion. Now the verb, this verse describes and reveals the free will possessed by every member of the human race. It brings up the concept of making decisions. For this reason, God will send upon them deluding influence, so that they will believe, make a positive response to the lie, the deluding influence. And this deluding influence is said to be false. So people are believing the lie. If they're believing the lie, then there's a historical downtrend being exacerbated by that one individual. And if you have a lot of people involved, then you have a full-blown historical downtrend. So it begins with a continuative conjunction, chi, followed by the preposition, dia, and the causal accusative, houtos. And so the verse begins, and because of this. Now, the New American Standard says, for this reason, but and because of this is better. It refers to rejection of truth with emphasis on the gospel in context. Now, rejection of the gospel results in a mentality that is incapable of subscribing to establishment truth. Establishment truth has to do with the laws in the society and in the culture. There's certain things that you're not allowed to do. We're bending cultural rules now by letting people do things that previously would be considered crimes, but they are no longer. And so you can bring an entire community down to its knees because people claim they have the right to burn buildings and loot stores and so on it goes. And then the government gives approval of this. The most amazing thing that I've ever seen. I'm old. But that all the way from local to state to national government gave approval to the destruction of an entire city. And now there's a false narrative going on that it was justifiable. We're real close to this. It's within a 20-minute drive at most of this church. How about we all go over there and eat lunch today? Why not? I mean, why don't we just go full bore and move to Syria? We can learn how to burn a city officially in Syria. And while we're over there in Ferguson, let's chop off some heads. You see how ludicrous this is? This is ludicrous. 20 minutes from here. And we're going to let Syria in the gates. They believe what is false, says our verse here. All doctrinal thought has been evacuated into heaven. Have you ever seen something go really fast? Like Everett Probasco flies this some kind of airplane that goes faster than anything that's ever been flown before. I mean, it's here in a moment and it's gone. There's that. And you ladies can remember back in time and say, I knew some guys like that. They were here in a moment, they're gone. All doctrine of thought has been evacuated into heaven. If doctrinal thought's gone, what's left? The lie. The devil's world is organized to reject all remnants of divine thought and replace it with human viewpoint, human good and evil. And that will be the order of the day, and everybody will love it. Unleash the sin nature and see what happens. What if I told you, you know, I've been studying the Bible for a good long while, and I have just come to the conclusion that there's nothing wrong with sinning. Dismissed. And then you go out and say, the pastor said today, there's nothing wrong with sinning. It's in us and it's got to come out. And so, if that's the case, then hey, let's go and have fun. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. And then you go out there and say, the pastor said that we can just do whatever the hell we want to. It's in you. And what is your lust pattern you love the most and have a hard time suppressing? What is it? Do you want to do really bad, but you just... And Mama told you not to go there. Mama's dead. And so if society says the Bible, Christianity, Jesus, movies that have Jesus in it, and all these kinds of things are no longer applicable, and we're going to boycott against them and we'll get them out of the public square. And in the process, the rules and regs for civil behavior have been removed, and we're on our own. And then you unleash the sin nature and its lust patterns. And what's to stop you? Because they're going to be fun for a while. Raise your hand if you don't want to do certain things you're not doing now. Okay, then. So some restraint remains. But given that example, someone just woke up from a nap when I said, there's no such thing as sin. Hear that, Margaret? I've been trying to tell you. Oh, my Lord. All right. Israel's responsibility in its dispensation is to guard the truth. That was their responsibility. It's revealed in the Tanakh, that's the Old Testament to the Jew. It'll result in great apostasy, which is addressed by the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are first revealed in Revelation 7:4. Okay, so they're evangelists. Where do they come from? They're Jews. They got a lot of theology out of the Old Testament, didn't they? They overheard some stuff in the church age, the part that they were alive in. Hopefully some orthodox theology. And then they say, you know, this Messiah concept has just come across my mind. I'm thinking maybe there's something to that. You know how Daniel spoke of the 70th heptad? Y'all remember that? Say, yes, we remember. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the 70th heptad, and that maybe Jesus is the Messiah. Well, you got teaching angels, Old Testament stuff, teaching angels come in. You know, they're available in the tribulations. They come in and say, you guys are onto something. Let me fill in the blanks. So I've got a bunch of Jews here, and this dictator's going to kill all of you people. But what you need is more restraint. We need just more than you guys, 144,000. We need more people here. So I'm going to give you a good gospel message. I need 12,000 from each of the tribes, and then I'm going to send you out. You got work to do. And they say, okay, we're fired up. We're ready to go. And so here's how all that starts in Revelation 7:4. I heard a number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 were sealed from each of the tribes of Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. 144,000. Note the tribe of Dan is missing from this inventory. He is not included since the false prophet is from the tribe of Dan. That would be the guy down in Israel, false prophet. That is in league with the beast dictator, you may recall. Tribe of Dan. So they don't get to play. It's like you were on the team at one time, but now you're not. You're Memphis. Dan's in Memphis. Everybody else is in St. Louis. So you get that. So everybody else gets to play. They sit on the sidelines. Now, these evangelists will be commissioned to evangelize the myriad of unbelievers that populate the earth. And into this void, God will initially send chaos into the mentalities of men. It says God will send. Ha theos pimpo. God shall send. So, to refer back, for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. Who's sending the influence? It's God this time. How does he do that? He allows erroneous thought to have access to the souls of those in the tribulation who do not have any interest in organized thought. And so he allows those who are negative to be negative and to believe the lie. See, that is grace. Grace gives you the opportunity to respond to the Word of God. You have the information before you. You can accept it or reject it. It's okay either way as far as God's concerned, because your volition is free. And those who respond positively will be honored, blessed, and protected by Him. Those who do not have voted to abscond from His plan. So we've got a verb here. God will send. Present tense is static. It represents a condition which is assumed as perpetually existing. Here refers to the status of reversionism, which will exist throughout the tribulation. It also takes on aspects of the futuristic present as it relates to the Lord's second advent. Now let's take a look at a verse in Revelation 14:1. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb, that's Jesus, was standing on Mount Zion. Mount Zion, as you know, is where the Temple Mount is, so that's downtown Jerusalem. He was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. Those are the Jews of chapter 7 that we've identified. So he's got all of his evangelists with him. Having his name, that's Jesus, the one that executes the plan of God, and the name of his father, Theos, the author of the divine plan. So we have the one who executes the plan, Jesus. The one that developed the plan is Theos, God. God the Father, God the Son. They have the name, get this, they have the name, having his name, it should read, having his name, and the word there is Iesus. So it would be in Greek here. The one that executes the plan. And the name of the Father, that would be Theos. This is the guy that develops the plan. On their foreheads. Now the only way to evaluate that is the priestly mitres. These men take the place of the missing priesthood and function as evangelists. There is no priesthood from the tribe of Levi in the tribulation. Who takes the place of the priests in the tribulation? 144,000 Jews. And therefore, they've got headpiece. It's a mitre. Now, those of you who came here from the Catholic Church, and many of you have, I don't know if you've ever seen up on the rostrum from time to time a bishop, for example. And he wears a really obnoxious-looking headpiece. It looks like maybe a garbage can that's been turned. I'm telling you that outside or looking in, it looks like he turned it over and then put it down on his head. And it's got all this filigree on it. It runs up about this high. No chin strap either. I'm amazed at that. So it appears that these guys have some sort of device like that with these words on it, Iesus and Theos. It's on their foreheads. But it means that the meter comes down over their forehead and you have these words on it. Active voice, Jesus produces the action under the principle that he controls history. So what's he controlling? Let's back up. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence. How does he send it upon them? Their volition accepts it. It's going to be there. The beast dictator is going to dominate all communication vehicles. All the media are going to be involved in promoting his propaganda so that they will believe what is false. So the active voice, Jesus produces the action. He's controlling history. He's letting this take place. Why? He's separating the sheep from the goats. It's going to be a baptism of fire, you recall. At the very end of the tribulation, he's separating sheep from goats. Produce the lie. The lie is out there. It is dominant. It is therefore available for the taking. So let's see who will buy the lie and who will not. We've got 144,000 who rejected it. And I'm going to let them be evangelists. And they're going to go out into Satan's environment and evangelize the lost. They will have the grace opportunity to have eternal life rather than live through this chaos as they're getting set to do. So what is he doing? He's allowing this to occur as he always allows free will to move through its ultimate course. Divine justice demands that the result of the individual's rejection of truth will be characterized by Operation Apollyme. Led astray, deprived, ruined, destroyed, because they have not received the love of the truth, faith alone in Christ alone, so as to be saved. And that's in our passage at verse 10. That's free will. 144,000 evangelists are out communicating the gospel to whosoever will listen, and they will say, no, I like the stud muffin over here. Indicative mood, declarative, a statement of historical fact, prophetic with reference to the tribulation and historical for the church age. See, it's prophetic for the tribulation, historical for right now. Next is the dative of disadvantage of the indirect object for the intensive pronoun autos, and because of this, God sends to them. How'd he send them? He sent them with the gospel. He's not being mean to them. He's going to send 144,000 people out to tell them the truth, and they're going to reject it. Isn't that grace? They can't say, I didn't know. They can't say, I didn't hear that. It is to the disadvantage of anyone that rejects any category of truth. And having done so, the immediate vacuum opens in the soul into which is sucked the lie. And that's in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. Let me introduce this because we're at a spot now where we can pick up nicely on Wednesday evening. Next is the accusative singular direct object of the noun in ergia. It means action, work, or operation. The concept here has to do with kinetic energy that is strong and is powerful. Not potential, it's kinetic. And this is followed by the descriptive genitive of plane, which means delusion. Together, the terms refer to the active operation of false opinions. And so our verse reads, flip back to it, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence. What's the deluding influence? Says so that they will believe what is false. He is allowing the lie to gain prominence. The lie is everywhere because the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit has been removed, and we're in the dispensation of Israel, and 144,000 Jews are evangelizing for Christ in that environment. And he is therefore going to be able to say before them at the great white throne judgment, you were told the truth, you chose to believe the lie. And it says that here, a deluding influence. What is that? The environment of the tribulation, in this case, administrated by the beast dictator. So that what will happen? So that they will believe what is false. How do they do that? Because when they hear the gospel from these Jews, they listen to it and they say, no, the truth is over here. I've been hearing this in all the media. We have to follow this guy. He's the one that will deliver us. And therefore, they believe what is false. So the number of things to emerge from this, and this is a good place to stop. We're going to go not only into Ephesians 4, 17 and 19, but we'll also have to go into Ephesians, the early part of it, that will therefore give us a balance between two areas of that very chapter. So we need a lot of time for that, and we'll therefore resume here on Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to study your word this morning. We are encouraged by your matchless grace that is evident in every period of human history. The gospel is available to whosoever will. And whosoever will has the opportunity to both reject and appropriate eternal life. And therefore, faith alone in Christ alone results in eternal life and deliverance from the lake of fire. Your grace appropriates this. You back it up. It is true. All have the ability, the opportunity, and the power to make the choice for eternal life. If there's anyone here today that has not placed his or her faith in Jesus Christ for salvation and deliverance, may they have the opportunity to do it now. And therefore, we thank you for the opportunity we've had today to see delusion, how we've seen the lie, how it's appropriated. In opposition to that is the truth of the Word of God, the truth of the gospel, its availability to all. Motivate and encourage us regarding these opportunities. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai rene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.